Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Pima Page, Justin Tyler, and Ivan!
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Ben!
John Pardew over here.
Unbelievable. Guys, very exciting show for you tonight.
Actually, I should say before we get started, a bit of intimacy earlier between our hosts here.
Yep.
Alex came up to me. He was like, ow, Justin, I got a splinter. And so I picked it out of his finger. Real bonding. That's the most intimate we've ever been.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then Pete saw me do that, and he was like, could you pop this boil on my inner thigh? And I was like, sure, Pete, show him.
And then we all made love. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, you forgot to mention that. It was very tender. Yeah. Guys, we have a great show for you. I'm very excited about the guest we have. Ladies and gentlemen, Ben Kissel! So listen, Ben, we all have splinters that we would love for you to get out of our fingers.
I will gnaw those splinters right out of your hand.
Metaphorical splinters.
Oh, well, very good.
Mine's about a troubled childhood. See if you can get that out.
I have an entire log of that in my brain.
Ben, thank you so much for coming on the show. So let's chat. You're a comedian.
I'm a comedian. Jokes, laugh, that's right.
So,
appropriate response, everyone.
Do a couple of your jokes.
I'm so big.
That is a joke.
Wow. Yeah, that is a joke. My face is the joke. I'm the born punchline. Thank you.
We were chatting backstage. You were saying that your first experience really with comics was Far Side. Right?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I grew up in this very Christian home, so I actually couldn't really read comic books growing up. My father found, I had, let's say I'm 27, I must have been around 13 or 14, I had this, when Batman died. Do you remember that comic book? Or no, when Superman died.
Superman died.
And so I was reading in the back of my minivan. It was Sunday morning, we were going to church, and my dad, interrupted his own prayer. So I wasn't paying
you
attention.
You got a mid-prayer?
I got a mid-prayer, which is amazing. Which I always thought was very bizarre that he would pray as we drove to church because,
jumping the gun. He's jumping the gun, man.
Yeah, first of all, you're praying on your way to church. Well, what's the rush, buddy?
That's a pass.
It's like
pass
having a burger on the way to McDonald's.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Masturbating on the way to the
Uh-oh. Going blue.
I'm sorry.
Did he explain to you that Superman would rise again?
No, he did not. Jesus rose again, and I think that was actually the parable that he chose to use. And that was actually what he said. You know, he's like, you don't need to be reading the comic books. The only book you need is the Lord. He's the greatest superhero ever. You know, which I know. I was like, I think he's a little boring. I thought he was a little bit boring.
He's too powerful.
He's far too powerful.
He wasn't wearing tights.
Exactly.
Not the Lord I worship.
So I got reprimanded for reading the comic books. Ooh. So, but on the positive side of my father, he always encouraged me to read Gary Larson he always liked Larson. So I got to read The Far Side. Which is very good.
You've been getting back into them recently, right?
Well, now I'm getting into comic books. I moved into this new place a year ago. I have a friend, Jason Kepler. He's about 5'5". He's a, he's a very, very tiny guy, and he's been into comic books his entire life.
By the way, I just want to interrupt you. Thank you for mentioning everybody's height.
Yeah. I'm 6'7". Okay. Imagine how big I was.
5'5" isn't that short, by the way.
No, I'm not saying, hey, you have your own. I'm not saying it was a bad thing. That was a positive statement I said about him. He is a beautiful 5'5 in stature. He has touched a woman 10 years ago.
It's hard to reach that.
Exactly. He just goes around motorboating people on the subway.
What is motorboating?
Well, actually, I just learned this. My girlfriend, she just told me.
You motorboated her?
No, I didn't motorboat her. I had no idea what it was. But that's what a fellow, I suppose, or a woman
a
can
fellow?
Do it. Yeah, a gentleman of the highest
a
regard.
A jerk. Let's say it's probably a jerk.
Yeah, well, you never know. He sees the opportunity between some cleavage to place his head, between the sacks there, and then he does a motorboat. He just goes, and then apparently it simulates.
On the subway?
You can do it anywhere. That's the beauty of
murder. You'd have to sneak up pretty well.
I think you go to jail then.
Yeah.
Many, many worse things happen than motorboats.
So you were motorboating your roommate.
Yeah. He was reading a comic book. No, but he was getting me into some of these cooler comic books like Transmetropolitan, yeah. The Preacher, yeah. You know, real kick-ass stuff that I never really knew existed because I was, you know, not allowed to read it. So it's been a really interesting time. I mean, I had no clue how unbelievably vicious and graphic and violent comic books were. I still had the myth of, like, you know, Archie coming home and eating a whole bunch of hamburgers or something.
No, they've gotten real fucked up.
Yeah, now the Preacher just breaks down the door. He's like, those are hamburgers, they're grenades, and then everything explodes.
Last issue of Archie, he shot Jughead in the face.
And then motorboated Mr. Witherby.
Cool. Really we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Stacks. First thing we're going to talk about, from the death of Superman to the death of Batman, A Battle for the Cowl, number 3. For those of you can take this out and be very careful with it, or Pete will yell at you. But
I will be very careful. That's what he told me. I said, look at these hands. I'm going to try so hard to be careful with these comic books.
In case you haven't been paying attention, Batman is dead or something.
He's not dead. He's in a cave.
Yeah, he's in a time cave. And anyway, this 3 issues.
He's in a cave. That's like a perfect hiding spot, apparently.
Three issue series has been following the various Robins as they fight to not be Batman. And finally we found out who is going to actually be Batman in this issue. Did you guys like it? What did you think?
Well, no.
Yeah, and for finding out who's going to be Batman, it was pretty much a waste of time.
He's going to be a shit. So Dick Grayson's going to be Batman, mm-hmm. which you kind of knew the whole time, and he's going to be a shitty Batman. Am I right? Anybody? He's a good Nightwing because he's got a tiny little job to do, hang gliding. And now he's Batman. He doesn't have it.
Yeah. I mean, this series was poor pretty much across the board. Yeah. I actually don't necessarily have a problem with Nightwing being Batman because we all know it's going to be like a year before Bruce Wayne is back because that's who Batman is.
Maybe not, but
yeah, but probably. But the series did such a terrible job of getting him to that place where he's like, nah, I don't want to be Batman. I don't want to be Batman. At the end, he's like, you know what? I should be Batman, I think.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much it. That was the whole series. It was just entirely unnecessary.
I wish they all became Batman. And then they kind of fought over different things, different, like, neighborhoods and stuff.
Yeah. And then, like, did, like, mirror exercises and things.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, no, I'm kidding.
They became amateur actor Batman. A lot of mirror exercise, a lot of vocal warm-ups, red leather, yellow leather.
You could make a lot of money in Hollywood doing that.
Now we're talking about it.
And you could be the real Batman.
This is great, you guys.
I want to see the Battle for the Cowl when we get to see George Clooney. We get to see Christian Bale, Val Kilmer, Michael Keaton. Like old, frail Michael
Adam
Keaton.
West.
Yeah.
Ooh, Adam West.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Who do you think would win?
Adam West.
Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton has a withering touch. Did you know that?
Also, he can hear ghosts through the radio.
Yeah. And he can turn into a snowman.
No, he ain't
Christian Bale's a madman. Yeah. I think the hate that he harvests inside of himself would do it.
Yeah. In any case, this is terrible. Don't pick it up. Let's move on to Wolverine Weapon X number 2. In case you can't tell from the cover, there are like 6 other Wolverines, and they all have green laser claws. It's pretty awesome.
It had to happen.
They're not laser claws. They're just glowing.
No, they are actually laser claws.
Yeah. Well, it's not like they shoot laser beams. They're just
no. They just shoot out about a foot.
Yeah, but
I thought they were really sharp glow sticks. That's what I thought.
That is threatening. Great at a rave, though.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's very what do you think about the series?
I think this is a good issue. I don't know. Like,
I know what bothered me. All
right.
At one point in this issue, Wolverine's facing up against 10 of these guys who are just like him, and he's like, "I know what it feels like to get killed by me all of a sudden." And then all of a sudden, there are too many of them. He runs away, and you hate that.
It was a little
because he doesn't run, right?
Well, it's kind of understandable. Like, okay, there's too many of them at once. I got to take them down individually, so I have a better shot. I can understand that.
What if he was just scared?
I don't think he
just ran away.
I don't think he was scared. I think
he was hiding behind a tree in the last panel.
He was crying,
and he was like, "Come and get me." Is what he said.
That's what he thought, but he didn't say that.
Sounds like Wolverine's playing possum.
Yeah.
Am I right?
I really like this. I think this is fun. It's over-the-top action, which is what Wolverine should be.
I don't know why still there's another Wolverine series beyond the fact that there was a movie recently which everybody hated.
Yeah, it was
awful. Oh, yeah. Oh,
it was
yeah,
really
yeah.
bad.
Yeah, but, you know, it's a fun story. I would say pick it up.
I just can't wait to see where else he's going to run to and, like, if he's finally going to get that job, like, in a library or something. He'll really just run away from everything.
What we need is a series with Wolverine just being quiet.
Yeah.
Just being like,
relax, hey, buddy. Yeah. Take a break. Take a breather.
Wolverine weapon relax. cool. Let's move on and talk about Final Crisis Aftermath, the dance. Number one.
Exactly.
Just to bring you up to speed, a couple of months ago there was an event in the DC Universe called Final Crisis. It introduced, or rather brought back, a team called the Super Young Team that existed in Japan. Most of their powers were being rich and being awesome, and that was pretty much it. This series is following up on the Super Young Team and seeing what's happening to them. What do you guys think?
This is a horrible waste of time.
I thought there was going to be more dancing. There's very little actual dancing.
To be fair, half the issue is dancing.
I know, but that's not... There's. I thought there was going to be more, is what I'm saying.
Right.
All dance.
Yeah, you felt gypped off by the...
Aftermath... Dance party. Like, what's worse than seeing...
That's what happens after prom.
Who thought that? What?
You have exactly. a dance party after prom?
Yeah, the one, they lock you in the gym, and you don't drink, and
right.
you hang
That's
out
right.
and you dance.
Were you a werewolf?
I was, but I'm not anymore.
Nice.
Not until June 5th.
Whoa.
I don't even know what that means. This is okay. The biggest problem with this is...
No, it's not okay. It's horrible. It's
why
a joke.
Is it horrible?
It's a joke. It's, first of all, it's called Aftermath Dance. And it's about a bunch of young superheroes.
Super young.
Yes, so far you're just recapping what I said.
No, I know, but I'm saying that's exactly why it blows. Because it's a bunch
what
of...
what you said!
I'm sorry.
It's
all
got
right.
somebody
if I
twittering
my
throughout
recap,
the whole comic saying it sucks. It's like, man, this... Panel blows the ass, huh? It's like,
that's what you would Twitter.
No, that's
if
what
you,
it
if
says.
If you knew what Twitter was, that's what you'd say on it. This comic, it's just like Youngblood, except they added Twitter. And that's just like...
Oh, they tweet in this one?
Yeah.
Oh, unbelievable.
No, unbelievable.
No, it's very current.
Yeah, what
I have to say, there was a small part of me that was actually proud of DC Comics for putting Twitter in there, as opposed to being like, I'm going to post it to Friendster.
Yeah. Well,
which
even,
is not current anymore, just
like, oh. It even comes across, though, like it's your grandfather being like, Twitter, I get this.
What do they tweet about?
He's like, man, we're in space.
Yeah, it's about as interesting as anybody else's Twitter.
Yeah,
oh!
Werewolf.
Would you say pick this up?
No!
Unnecessary.
Mm, okay.
What would you say, Alex?
Nah, I wouldn't say. All right, let's talk about Hulk. Number 12, you guys, it's the Red Hulk versus the Green Hulk, the Offenders versus the Defenders. That's about as far as the plot goes.
Yeah.
Pretty much total. You have four good guys kind of fighting four bad guys, but if you haven't been following the title, there's a Red Hulk who is made out of fire, as far as I can tell.
Rolk.
And goes around killing everybody and showing how badass and awesome he is and talking about... How he's like, don't worry, this is part of my plan. But as far as I can tell, his plan is just like making stuff up as he goes.
He's such a dick.
Yeah.
He's such a dick. And that's I can't really like this because it's so in your face.
Do you mind if I ask how did Rulk get created? One of these Hulks?
Don't know yet.
Oh, okay. That's still the mystery.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
12
okay.
issues in and we still don't know how Rulk was created.
12 issues in?
Yes.
Seems like they should get to that.
I know how it was created. Jeff Loeb was like finishing up a hero script. And he had a little extra brain space. He squeezed out a Red Hulk.
It's cool. A yes.
Just popped it right out, like the boil on pizza.
Oh.
That's
even disgusting to me.
Nah.
Why wouldn't that be disgusting?
Well, yes, yeah, good point.
Cool. It's on your thighs. Yeah. It's more disgusting.
This is just so silly across the... It's tough, actually. I think I keep going back and forth on these issues. Every other issue, I'm like, 12-year-old Alex likes it. And then the other issue, I'm like, no, this is stupid. Shut up.
Yeah.
And I don't know...
Go with that one.
This one feels far more loosely plotted than it does in general. It really... There's a lot of stuff in there, like Rolk being like, I don't know if you know this, but I absorb energy. And the only reason we would know that is if anybody told us that at any point.
Yeah.
And this is the first time he's mentioning, so I kind of wanted to be like, no, of course I don't know it. Thank you for telling me.
But then also Galactus is like, well, I don't know if you know this, but I absorb energy. It's like, oh, man. Just do something.
And then there's an even bigger guy who's like, I don't know if you know this.
Yeah.
I talk like that in my head. Would you say pick it up?
Yeah, I go back and forth on this as well. Like, some issues a lot more fun than others. But it really is turn off your brain and enjoy it. And I enjoyed the fact that, like, Red Hulk beat the shit out of the Silver Surfer, took his surfboard, and was like, yeah, now I'm going after Galactus. And Galactus was like, nope. So yeah. I thought it was, like, enjoyable that way.
Does Galactus absorb Silver Surfer's boards? Silver surfboards?
Yeah, Galactus eats surfboards.
That's now, cool. Would the character appeal to you, the Hulk, but angrier?
An angrier Hulk?
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose so. It's kind of like a, you know, meaner Palin, something like that. You know? It's like a...
that's a good big reveal.
The whole thing with Hulk, though, is that he's super angry, right?
Yeah.
So what if he gets more angry, I mean, would it come full circle and make him weak? I mean, how angry can the Hulk get before it becomes a detriment to the Hulk? You know, before no longer
we haven't found
Hulk.
Out yet.
Yeah.
It's a good question, though.
Yeah. So it's important just to ask.
The Hulk just keeps getting angrier and angrier until he just, like, curls into a ball on the floor. He's, like, super strong, but he's crying.
Yeah.
Spend it.
Oh, yeah, man.
It's great. You can team up with Wolverine crying behind a tree. All right, this one, talking about Fantastic Four, number 566. We have always wondered, ever since the first issue of the Fantastic Four, when Stan Lee and Jack Kirby teased it, who were the Masters of Doom?
Yeah.
Finally, we have found out 566 issues later.
Oh, wow.
Unbelievable.
You guys should be waiting on that Rulk thing, then.
Well, this is just like that. It's like, Doom's pretty badass, but what if there were people that were more badass? And that's what we have here, and we just see their hands in the cover. And then when you see their faces, one of them has giant teeth.
Yeah. So the Masters of Doom have finally come. Doom is preparing all of Latveria to bow before.
Best line of the book. Best line of the book is Doom's talking to one of his aides. He's like, I want them to keep cheering. The first man that stops cheering, I want shot. He's like, yeah, that's how you run shit. That's how you keep a cheer going.
That's why you're not sitting at this desk.
Yeah.
See, it's just weird because it's always like Doom was, in my mind, the most badass. So just seeing him, like, grovel to somebody else is so upsetting to read that it was just like...
It upsetting?
It does feel like most of what Mark Millar's been doing over his issues in this series is make people badass by beating up Dr. Doom. There was previously the Defenders, and they beat up Doom and Galactus and the Human Torch, and that showed how badass they were. And now you have the Masters of Doom who are setting them on fire and being like, oh, we're totally badass. So it's kind of the same thing.
Well, and I like also, they show up and they're like, Doom, you've been doing a terrible job running things here. And he's like, Doom's been trying, or something like that. And it's like, it's so out of character.
You know,
it's
another thing that's actually...
Such a middle manager position that he's in.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
He's like a nurse Doom. Sort of.
Yeah.
I would love to meet the Masters of the Masters of Doom.
Yeah. That's it.
Oh, man.
1032.
They're like, totally badass. So they're just going to be like,
yeah. It's like that guy that absorbed energy.
Yeah, totally. Actually, one other thing that's similar is to show that Rulk was badass, a couple of issues ago, he punched out a Watcher. And this one, the Masters of Doom killed a Watcher.
Yeah.
There you go. That's my whole point.
Yeah.
All right, okay. Let's move on.
Everyone's kicking those guys.
Unbelievable. Let's talk about Herogasm, number one, you guys. This is a spinoff of the Boys series, which shows what happens when superheroes go wrong. You guys are not really fans of the Boys, right?
I just don't pick it up.
I kind of agree with my father, actually, now on comic books. After
Well, take a gander inside that
book. I know. I saw a few erotica pictures.
Nah, that's a fuck party, friend.
That's a clip about it.
Yeah.
Erotica.
Basically, the idea of this book is when there's a big crossover in the Marvel Universe or the DC Universe, in the Boys Universe, they say, we're going off into space to fight this alien armada. We don't know when we're going to be back. But in fact, there's no alien armada. They just fly to the other side of the world and all fuck each other for a weekend.
Yeah.
That's it. I didn't write it. what do you guys think?
I think that's a very funny idea, but it doesn't go anywhere. Like, after the seventh panel of a bunch of fucking, I'm like, all right, I think I get...
It just seems like every douchebag that I didn't like in college wrote this.
They did, actually.
Yeah, I think they probably did. Then we go, we have sex with all these chicks. Yeah. And we're like superheroes, though. So, like, I'll be in the air, and we'll have sex with chicks. Right?
Totally.
I'm strong though. Sex with chicks. I'm having sex with chicks. Yeah. I'm stronger.
Well, and this has been a good stack, but don't we have to go fight an alien armada?
Yeah.
We're in the back, in the green room.
Just the three of us?
I don't know. I just thought that's good. Like, all right, okay, I don't know.
Okay, whatever. No, that's fine. I think that sounds
whatever's
nice.
Happened.
Yeah. Okay, I think it sounds really nice.
No, we'll just let those aliens run rampant then.
Great. I like this. I don't know.
You like it?
Why did you like
wait, why did you like it?
Real quick dismissal.
Pick it up.
I don't know. I like the boys. It's ridiculous, over the top, but it's always grounded in character. The weird thing about
what was grounded about the
characters
part?
Of
all the women had two breasts.
Yeah, it was very grounded in the real world. It was very interesting. Now you have the boys themselves show up at the end. You have
totally
Simon Pegg's girlfriend. Well, this is the thing that's confusing about it to me is it makes total sense as an arc in the boys. I don't understand why it's separate. Miniseries right now.
Because they can call it Hero-gasm. That's why.
And the other thing, the economy is crazy right now. Let's talk about Captain America.
Oh, that's bull.
Captain America.
Come on.
You like
I
your
like
erotic
bunk parties.
No, that's cool.
All right, Captain America number
50. Tell your
50.
Colleen Coover story.
Yeah, Captain America number 50. Finally, it is Bucky's birthday, and we find out what Bucky's birthday is like throughout the ages.
Yeah.
It's very sweet.
Hero Gang crossover.
This comic is just classically good. It's just really well written, really well drawn, and it gives you older stories in a way that isn't like, oh God, I've heard this many times.
I feel like it does have a sort of a right wing militia look though going on in the cover here, which is the only thing that I know about.
Well, yeah, he's supposed to be a little harder than the previous Captain America.
It looks very intense.
He's wearing, like, parachute pants, and it's harder.
Yeah, and he's got the baton, just in case someone gets out of line.
He wants to twirl the baton.
Hippies with
him. Yeah.
The best part of this issue, I thought, was in the back, Marcos Martin recaps the origin of Captain America and Bucky, and it's so beautifully drawn. It's fantastic. It's worth the price, just to pick that up. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
and that's
it for the
up.
Stack.
Oh, okay.
Great. Okay, it is time for our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to bring out Booth Man.
Booth Man!
John?
Yeah. Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Booth Man. How are you?
Booth Man lives in the booth.
I live in the booth.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's about the size of my apartment.
Wow, that's especially tiny for you.
Yeah, only grand a month.
We had some questions.
Oh, nice. That's good.
Yeah. That's the section word.
You know, I thought, let's change it up.
Okay.
Who would win in a fight?
Okay.
Punisher, Cypher, or Sentry?
Wow. Wait, how did I get Sentry?
You know, Punisher and Cypher were obvious. So.
Starman.
Sure, let's change it. Let Punisher, Cypher, or Starman.
Wow, let's see.
Punisher.
Is this a spelling bee or
the argument.
A fight?
Fight.
Yeah, do they have to like see who can translate something the quickest?
Nope.
Because, is that even a round in the fight? Is that any sort of
is
round?
This some sort of academic decathlon?
Oh, these are actual questions.
Yeah.
No, this is a fight.
You're being bombarded.
Uh-huh. I think it's obvious.
Cypher would lose every fight. Right? He died in the Marvel Universe. He's one of the only people who's ever died in stage dead, right?
Yes.
Boss?
Well, that's because it was so poignant. It was such a powerful death that they were like, the fans were in, they're like, no, just leave it, leave the character be. It's like him and Uncle Ben, basically.
Yeah, totally. They're the last untouchable characters.
Pretty much.
Oh, man. Punisher.
How did he die?
He got shot by a gun. To be fair, it was.
Did he try to like yell words at him? Because that might have.
No, I mean, to be fair, it was by a crazy old man who lived on an island populated by birds. So it was a pretty hardcore death.
An old man killed your favorite character?
Look, it was Reagan, Fall of the Mutants, and I don't want to talk about it. What were your answers?
Who would win?
He was protecting his true love.
Oh, that's good. What words? the Punisher would lose. He just
what
a gun.
Are you talking about?
The old man from the island could kill the Punisher if he got him just right.
Punisher never loses.
He loses a lot.
Do you have any opinion on this match?
I think the Punisher would win.
Thank you.
Why?
Because that's where he kills people.
I mean, that's what he does.
Right.
No, he doesn't. He kills criminals.
Wait, but
Sentry is crazy.
This is a fight, not to the death necessarily.
Ooh. Well, but to be fair, okay, even though he is my favorite character, Cypher clearly has his one weakness is guns. We've established that.
True.
That's a huge weakness. When you're going against the Punisher.
Right.
It's weird. That's my weakness.
Starman, Starman also got shot with a gun once, didn't he?
But he lived. Trump.
That's true, so it's not his one weakness.
Yeah, exactly. It is true.
So clearly Starman is impervious to guns, so he would win.
Boom!
No. Punisher eats guns for breakfast.
Oh, that would kill you. That would kill him.
Yeah, that would kill himself.
He loves guns so much, he eats.
That's one way to get iron in your diet.
Oh! What was that?
That was the world's tiniest little baseball bat. I was hitting a joke towards him. Cool, I hope that answered your question. Raise your hand, and Pete will bring you a gift. Let's get the next question, please.
Nice.
Do you think Kenneth Branagh can do right by Thor when his Frankenstein sucked?
Wow. Clearly some idiot wrote that.
Wow.
Wow.
How did you say that?
I don't know. I kind of like Frankenstein.
You like Frankenstein?
Don't insult our audience.
All right, that's it. I'm out of here.
I can do a joke. Do you want to get a joke?
Yes. Let's do a joke.
Never ask permission to tell a joke.
Is your joke, I'm big?
Yeah.
I am so big.
Well, that certainly
I feel like we just lost it.
How big are you?
I'm so big.
No, I'll tell you guys a story. You want to tell me a quick big story? Here's the deal. I'm very large, right? And so I had this one person come up to me. He was mopping the floor on the L train. You guys are getting the joke now. And he was mopping the floor on the L train, right? And he looked at me and said, "Oh man, how tall are you?" I was like, "I'm 6'7". He's like, "Oh man, if I was 6'7", I'd get so many women, you know," which I thought was offensive because I don't get a lot of women, you know? And then he's like, "Oh yeah."
Right,
what's that? Yeah, that one. I mean, that's why I don't get a lot of them. And then he said, "Oh yeah, I'd be like a major league sporting team, you know, something like that." And I was like, "Man, that's terrible. I'm not athletic either." So I looked at him and I said, "You know, I don't know if an extra 9 inches are going to make you not a janitor." All right.
Wow.
Ooh.
Makes me try. Nailed him.
The joke had like a mean ending.
Yeah. I have to defend myself.
The moral of the story is don't ride the L train, I guess. Yeah.
Don't mock
the L train. Man,
question? What did that have to do with Kenneth Branagh?
Oh, right. Yes, I think Kenneth Branagh can do a great job because pretty much everything except for Frankenstein has been really good. He's a very good director. He works really well with actors.
What else has he done besides...
Ooh,
Shakespeare.
Much Ado About Nothing, Love, Labor, Loss. He did Dead Again, which is one of the best movies ever.
I wouldn't call those in the same.
Is there anything that normal people have seen?
Jokes on
people.
Much Ado About Nothing was a very popular romantic comedy starring Emma Thompson.
Right. Before they got to
Michael Keaton.
And Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
And Denzel Washington.
And Denzel Washington, that's
a new. The real who's who. Though, directing adaptation of a Shakespeare play is very different than directing a Thor movie.
I guess, but if he can bring that same sense to it, I think it'll be.
But he grew up reading and performing Shakespeare. I don't know if he's been doing that with Thor.
Mm-hmm. Is Thor Shakespeare?
I'm pretty sure he had to grow up performing Thor.
Close enough. Well, then
what do you guys think?
Grew up performing Thor? I don't even know how you would do that legally. I mean, what would you possibly do?
He just has a hammer.
Electrocute people and hit them with a hammer.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's possible then. Yeah, maybe he did that.
Cool.
Be good.
Great. Raise your hand if you ask a question. Please bring you a gift. Let's get the next question.
Woo! Rockers!
Okay, this is a play date, fuck, or marry question.
Like play date?
Fuck, or marry.
Oh, whoa.
Okay. The choices. Wolverine. John Connor. Spider-Man.
Wait, what is it?
You gotta fuck one. You gotta marry one, which obviously isn't Spider-Man. And you have to have a play date before.
Play date?
What? Who came up with these questions?
Definitely play date with Spider-Man. Have fun with the webs. You gotta marry John Connor because you need to be protected in the future.
John Connor has a tough go of it though. He's never had like a nice day.
No, he hasn't. No, he hasn't. But no one has.
So you would fuck Wolverine?
That would be wild.
Yeah. It does have a healing factor.
I would want to
bounce back.
Oh, it'd be so nice to him, though.
Plus, you're big.
Really try not to anger him. Oh, so big! Wolverine would feel fantastic. I'd hold him. He's probably got a lot to cry
He's
about.
He's a short
so.
Dude, too, right?
He is.
Yeah. He is. Yes.
Very tiny. Though, I would like to play with him. He's very good at hide and seek, as we learned in this last issue.
But if he finds you, you're going to die. What? If he finds you, though, you're screwed.
Not necessarily.
To be fair, he is sure enough to butterbug you, I guess.
So he's your fuck, then.
Yeah, I guess.
I've definitely got the bosoms that could be motor buttered by a Wolverine.
That's like the sixth time somebody said that on the show.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Motorboated by a Wolverine.
Pete?
Pete, we need serious answers out of you right now.
I wouldn't want to fuck any of them. I guess.
Not even Spider-Man.
He's so sensitive and nice. I guess play date with Wolverine, and we'd run around and kill people together. That'd be fun.
You would join him?
Yeah.
Some sort of. You like, probably end up fucking him after that, though.
No.
So that kind of that can be both things.
Right. I'm glad I started talking.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you so much for asking that question. Great to have you guys, and Pete's going to bring you a present. That's it.
Yay!
All right. It is time for our next session, which we like to call The Week in Geek.
Yeah.
Hooray. All right. So let's talk about it. First, you guys, I've got some good news and some bad news. What do you want to hear first? Good news.
Bad
or
news.
You want to hear the bad news
first? No, good news first.
You want to hear the bad news first, right?
Okay. Bad,
okay, bad news first is Joss Whedon isn't doing it. You want to hear the good news? Good news is there's going to be a Buffy movie, you guys.
Yeah. Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Another one.
Yeah. So here's the deal: is they just announced this today. They're working on another Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie. However, Joss Whedon, who created and wrote the original movie, and also obviously created and wrote the entire series and masterminded the comic books and most of the spinoff characters, is not being included. It's the producers of the original movie who were like, hey, you know what? Let's reboot the franchise a la Star Trek and Batman and make an entirely new Buffy.
But wasn't there only one Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie?
Yeah.
So this is Christy Swanson.
Yes, that one. But there was no sequels or anything.
No. Right,
movie-wise, no.
Rucker.
So well, because it was terrible.
It's going to be an Evil Dead 2 kind of thing. It's going to be a similar, is it like a similar film, but they're just going to not make it terrible?
They're going to try.
They're going to make it terrible.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's weird. In the article, they're not going to use any of the characters from the TV show, besides Buffy. And then they even said in the article that they haven't even talked to Joss Whedon. Like, he may have read it this morning at the same time.
Oh,
man, that's
a slap. The only response he has done so far, he wrote back to somebody at Entertainment Weekly who was like, hey, I'm wondering what you think about this news, any reactions, have they talked to you at all? And his response was, I hope it's cool. That was his entire response.
It's nice, very diplomatic.
I guess. Or maybe it's like, I hope it's cool.
Oh, yeah, did we have any intonation on it?
Yeah, no, it wasn't one of those audio...
Oh, no.
But that's an actual thing that exists. what?
I've never seen the original movie.
Are you kidding me?
It's kind of fun.
Luke Perry's in it.
Right. Yeah. Big admission there.
And Pee Wee Herman.
You're making fun of me for.
I'm kidding.
You like Luke Perry, though. It's true.
No, I've never even.
8 seconds. You're always talking about 8 seconds everywhere we go.
That's why you put those sideburns.
Yeah, the movie.
You're like, I want to do them short so nobody knows that they're Luke Perry sideburns.
I watched the first couple seasons of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It's a very fun show. Didn't go crazy over it. I don't know. I feel like there's going to be such a fan backlash that everyone's going to be mad.
Yeah, it's the only reason it's popular. It's not popular because of the original movie. It's popular because of the television series, which was popular not because of Sarah Michelle Gellar or any of the cast. Really, but because of Joss Whedon.
Well, they all work together.
No, I think it was pretty much him, and then like he put on different masks and stuff.
That's because you are obsessed with
him. I mean, obsessed is such a strong word.
It's still the right word to use, though.
Sure. They thought about doing this before or after that film Twilight was such a huge success with all those vampires and that, where they're just like, the producers were just like, oh, this is great, vampires are in, we got Buffy, let's do Buffy. You know,
yeah, well, that's the thing. It's so obvious why they decided to do it. They were like, oh, Star Trek. The Star Trek movie is big. I mean, talking about, like, grandparent Twitter stuff, it's the same sort of thing, where it's basically being like, oh, these reboots, that's popular these days, and the kids, they like the vampires with the romance.
That's probably going to be the first scene Buffy's going to be tweeting. Oh, it's going to be so bad.
Oh, fuck that. Why, though, not bring Joss Whedon on? If he wrote the original movie, doesn't it seem crazy?
Yeah. Why purposely keep him away?
The other part of it is it might just be producers putting the news out there to be like, hey, people get excited, and then they can get backing. Because as far as anybody knows, there's no studio involved. It's just the producers have announced that they're doing this. So it might be trying to get money.
That's good showbiz insight.
On the other side of things, what if they did the new Star Wars without George Lucas?
Yes!
Yeah!
Huh?
Yeah,
maybe it's going to be good!
Reboot the franchise.
Think about that.
Empire Strikes Back.
I love that. All right, speaking of, I guess, reboots of franchises, kind of, we have a trailer to show you guys, and I'll explain what it is afterwards.
Yes.
This superpower?
It's not a superpower.
Call it what you want, Nate, but that sure as hell sounds like some superhero Captain Tight Pants bullshit to me, man.
So, here's the deal. That is a fan-made trailer that used footage from over 30 different sources to put it together. Including, obviously, some color correction and things like that that they added in. What did you guys think about that?
On a Firefly. It looks awesome. It looks
like a lot of
fun. Someone put a lot of time into that.
Yeah.
It looks great, and Nathan Fillion's awesome. I don't know.
Yeah.
But what's that like there?
Fan-made trailer.
This is somebody with their own time, took footage from 30 things, including like Serenity
Firefly.
And Firefly and whatnot, but obviously also the Star Trek movie, Watchmen, various other things. Edited the footage together, added, you know, green flashes and things like that.
Oh, all right.
As well as creating some of their own models.
Those were good. That's a good kilowatt. Good, good stuff there.
Yeah, it's a great preview made by just a normal individual.
It's a preview for nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's my question about it. I see stuff like this, and especially if it's poorly done, I'm like, you really spent your time putting this together. This, on the other hand, actually seems kind of cool.
Yeah.
But what does it get you, if anything?
Nothing.
Hopefully DC will see this and be like, you know what? Yes.
Yeah, but no one has their name on it.
We're going to give you make the movie. You direct it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
The fan must be so dedicated to Green Lantern that they would want it to be made.
Right. Well, apparently the good news for this fan is Nathan Fillion saw it and posted about it. No, he's like, this is totally awesome. Everybody check this out. So yeah. that's a thing, I guess.
It's a great endorsement.
But there's no name associated with it because he could get in trouble. He or she.
Yes, I guess so.
Yeah.
That's real. I just feel bad for the kid who thinks it's a real trailer. She's been waiting for the next year for that goddamn Green Lantern movie to come out.
Yeah, that's exactly like if I was in camp right now, we'd be talking friends and be like, well, I hear the Green Lantern movie is coming out very soon. And we'd be discussing elements of the trailer.
Exactly. And the one person would be like, I think it was a fake. And you're like, no way, man, it's not a fake. You could go in so many directions with that.
Yeah. So this fantasy where you're camp is only this much different from the real world.
And that's it for the week. <Yeah. laughs>
This is the part of the show where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in a form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like a chance to win $25 free? Woo-hoo! Simply raise your hand. Come on, John. What's your name? Larry, audience? Audience Larry.
Larry. Nice t-shirt.
All right. So.
It's the ant runner.
Hey, you can't.
Okay.
Okay. That could be your gift card. All you have to do is listen to all three questions. For each question, you have three possible answers. Listen to all three. Get the. Don't be looking.
Five, isn't that short?
Yeah, exactly. So, go 3 for 3, gift card yours. Here we go. Question number one. Thank you, Boothman.
What's the trivia on?
Good question. The trivia is on Boothman.
Oh! It's be really hard to know the answer to this.
Yep, some fun facts. Where was Boothman born? Is it A, Oklahoma City, B, New Jersey, or C, a booth at Denny's? So it's either A, Oklahoma City, or B, New Jersey.
The entire state of New Jersey.
I'm going to go A.
A is correct! Yeah, Oklahoma City. Only spent 3 months there, then moved to New Jersey.
Okay.
It was the light shining off.
What is Boothman's favorite animal? Is it A, a cat, B, a wolf, or C, gummy bears? So it's either A, a cat, or B, a wolf, which is cooler.
Well, looking at Bolt Boothman over there, I'm going to guess wolf.
Correct! Yay! 2 for 2. Here we go, last one. Don't get cocky. Here we go. What is Boothman's favorite comic of all time? Is it A, Grant Morrison's run? Doom Patrol. Doom Patrol, Grant Morrison's run.
Okay.
B, Concrete, or C, Shirt Tales, the comic book.
Wow.
So it's either A, Doom Patrol, or B, the Concrete answer.
I'm going to go Concrete.
Yeah! There you go, sir. Enjoy $25 free.
I don't know how he got all that information. We gotta talk after the show.
You a fan of Shirt Tales? It's a great cartoon.
It was fun.
No. I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
There were these woodland creatures who lived in a tree in the park, and they would solve mysteries and then tag the criminals with like a tattoo. It said Shirt Tales.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's wrong. That's where I learned about justice.
That explains a lot about you.
Unfortunately, you guys, new comic books aren't coming out until Thursday.
Oh man.
I'm sorry. I don't remember why.
I don't remember.
We do recommend you go to Midtown Comics, though, because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. What are you guys looking forward to, Pete?
Ah, man, this is tough. Yosagi Yojimbo.
Ah,
yeah.
Nice.
Classic.
No particular reason.
Well, I love it. It's awesome. It continues to be awesome.
I love it.
I've loved it since day one, so. It's always a fun staple.
It's been going on for a long time.
It has, which is enjoyable.
Yeah. Justin.
Green Lantern number 41. Green Lantern is where it's at. In the DC universe.
Wolverine number 72. I'm looking forward to. I gotta
Old
say,
man Logan.
Without ruining anything, best 2-page spread of the month.
Really? Yeah. Wait.
Oh.
Do you mean that?
I totally 100%.
How did you see it?
He got the preview.
I have ways. Ben,
I was. What a Warhammer. Is that a good one?
No.
That's a terrible answer.
No. What's a good one? I promise I'll buy it on Thursday. Can someone tell me what is the good comic book to buy for a novice? For someone who likes violence?
Wolverine 72?
Yeah, probably.
Cool, man.
Or X-Force would be good.
Yeah.
Ooh,
or it could be,
yeah.
I accidentally read this as World of Warcraft Asperger's.
That's a serious episode.
They get to the bottom. They get to the bottom of the disease.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think it was a double encounter.
No, own it.
Yeah.
Couple of things before we go. You can check us out almost every day of the week at youtube.com/comicbookclub. Oh, very quickly, plug anything you have coming up.
I got a whole bunch of stand-up shows. Do a show at Creek in the Cave. We're headlining a comedy festival there June 20th at benkissel.com. And, yeah, I got jokes up there every day. I also do a podcast called The Brain of the Beast, which you can get off of benkissel.com, which is amazingly funny. So,
yeah, awesome. Nice.
And next week, we are going to have Chris Claremont on the show. And also Douglas Walk, who is the author of Reading Comics. So it should be very scholarly and very exciting and awesome.
Big selling point. We'll see about the scholarly thing. I'll still say a lot of swear words.
Yeah, probably. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Ben for being on the show! Who's back? Tell your friends. Good night.
Good night. Keep you posted on Pete's boil.
Yeah. Oh boy. I'm not sure that's good or bad.
Hey man, I just gotta be
thanks, man. Thank you, man. It's great.